Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 185 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We're going to begin with a little bit of entertainment recap with the things that have come out recently with Ghostbusters, Wheel of Time, Cowboy Bebop. Then we'll move over into some other entertainment news with Quentin Tarantino getting sued and some video games. Then we'll head over to tech, and in tech, we've got Bill Gates starting a nuclear power plant, some NFT and crypto news, autonomous vehicles, and a little bit of space. Lots to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and we are back. Episode 185. This last week was a busy week for me personally, just out traveling, still on no sleep right now, or like an hour of sleep, and we're going to get this through. I didn't have time to go see movies, watch any TV shows, but let's hear your thoughts as we had a couple things in the nerd ecosystem drop this week.
Yeah, one that a lot of people were waiting for was this Ghostbusters, and I it's still to my shock, I was surprised that a lot of people didn't know it was like a continuation from one and two. Like it retcons out the all-female bomb of Ghostbusters.
I assumed it was going to.
That doesn't exist or get acknowledged. Throughout the film, they constantly acknowledge Ghostbusters 1 and Ghostbusters 2. You know, so this is obviously 3. I know a lot of people thought it was like its own new franchise. I saw that. And then a lot of people thought it was a continuation, or the female one counted, and it was a continuation of that. So they're like, that last one was horrible. I'm not going to go see this third one.
Anybody who thought that is an uneducated individual in the entertainment space. There was no way they were continuing that way.
Man, I'm on my feeds, I see stupid people. Like, that's what I see. I'm like Bruce Willis when I scroll my Facebook page. All I see is stupid people. Fucking... So, needless to say, it is essentially Ghostbusters 3, and I loved it. Like, I had a great time at the theater. Like, one, Paul Rudd's just a national treasure. Like, he
plays the same character every time, and you love it every time.
And you love it every time. That just bright-eyed doofus, you just gotta love, man.
Positive at all times. Waiting for him to play like a dark serial killer, just a real downer one day.
You know, he basically is like the Rick Moranis of this new franchise, and like you gotta love him for it. You do, you know. And they told a good story, had some good nostalgia in there, really hit you in like the 80s heartstrings. Like I even bought a nerd shirt when Egon died, and got like, so like I have a Ghostbuster shirt that's RIP Egon Spengler, and like, so I really appreciated the throwbacks to the original series and how they kept everything moving. I highly recommend people go see it. If you're a Ghostbusters fan at all, you will love this movie. I'm sorry, you will.
Yeah. Did they keep it? Just the trailers seemed that they took it way more serious than Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd and stuff like that.
No, it was just as fun. As fun as the originals. Like it was very. The one thing
they really went like Michael Bay in the trailers on this.
The only thing I would say is that Act One takes a little bit too long, so Act Two you don't get much ghost busting for as big of like a finale as the movie has. You know, it was like, you know, these kids find proton packs in the basement, and then within one night, they are just, you know what I'm saying?
Like, they're just, it's like you're, just in their DNA. They don't need training.
You're a 12-year-old, and you find a fucking proton pack, and then next thing you know, they are fucking proton snipers. And, you know, like, there wasn't much ghost-busting build-up to the big finale. That's, like, the only thing I could say was wrong with the movie is they should have did a little bit more of like the
like Rocky montage here, and then just fucking shit up.
You know, it was just like, hey, we found this thing. Hey, there's a ghost. Let's try to fight it. We didn't do that well. Fuck it. Let's fight Gozer.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a little much. Other than that, man. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely worth the watch. It's one of those movies I think everybody's going to watch at least once. It's whether you go to the theater or actually pay to see it. They deserve your money. Like, this is how movies survive. They're hanging on a thread as it is. Like, this is worth your time and effort.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if another one should be on our watch list. And that's the Amazon Prime series Wheel of Time. I know you gave that a try. Remind me, have you read the books?
No.
Okay.
So I go in this purely as someone looking for some new sci-fi entertainment. And I know it's a fantasy. Famous... Yeah, well, that's what Phi is in sci-fi, or science fiction. No,
yeah, that's fiction, man.
I always thought when you say sci-fi, you encompass fantasy in there too. Like, it's like, hey, we like all this shit.
No, there's clear distinctions.
There's somebody out there that likes outer space but can't stand hobbits.
So there's sci-fi. That's, you know, Star Trek. There's science fantasy, and that's Star Wars, and to some degree, like even like Dune. Dune's considered like a godfather of like the science fiction.
We need a term to encompass all
three. It does have fantasy elements in like Dune, and then
no, I'm not arguing that you're wrong. Like, you are correct in all these things, but I need a better word to say all of those things at once.
Cause all of just nerd shit. That's it. So the show's about nerd shit. Just say I needed something new to watch in nerd shit.
So I watched the first episode last night, and I saw a lot of statuses about people who read the books. They're pretty salty.
Oh, they hate it. I've read the books, but I don't ever memorize things that I read. I read the first several of them, five or six of them. My wife's read all of them, and she's really excited for it. She wants to start watching it this weekend, and I think she's going to be deeply disappointed based off of what everybody's saying, because she absolutely remembers all the details, and it's going to crush her how far they deviate.
Yes. Live stream that shit. So for me, going into the first episode, it was a little like... You had to kind of piece it together yourself from a lot of like what they're going. Like, they give you like a quick in the beginning, hey, this is that, women run shit, we're gonna let you figure out the rest. And fucking you have to kind of like piece together what's going on. The fight scene that kind of brings it all together at the end of the episode and gives you the main overall plot of what the first season is gonna be. I don't know, man, for Amazon, it didn't feel like they spent a lot of money on that. Like, it felt very film school independent.
I've said that this entire time watching trailers and everything else. I've said that I think this is going to be a mess. And I really wanted it a while ago when they, you know, when Amazon, it's been like 2 years in the making, this series. When Amazon first announced that they were going to do it, it was right around the time they also announced Lord of the Rings. And we were all excited that we were getting so much nerd shit, you know. It was Game of Thrones is over, but we're getting all this other stuff on the horizon. And then this trailer started dropping for this one, and I thought, this one's not going to be it. Like, let's hope Lord of the Rings is better, because this one's not going to make it.
Yeah, it felt really like, I don't know why, but like Sesame Street comes to mind when I think about it. It was just so like, just overproduction, but cheap production. And yeah, like I just wasn't buying it. I'll keep watching it. Like, I've had the same struggles with The Foundation. Like, that was another big nerd shit category thingy that I was going to watch, because I don't know where that one falls. And it's really like all over the place. Hard to like, a lot of people I know like it, but I'm having trouble watching the last episode. Like, I've watched seven of them already, and every time I'm looking for something to watch, I'm like, nah, something better. Like, I keep putting it off. So if you can't get me to watch the season finale, like, if I can find something else better to watch, like, I don't think you did a good job of grabbing my attention.
No, not at all.
And that's what I think Wheel of Time is going to happen. Like, I'm going to watch the rest. Like, I'm going to see what happens. But, like, you want to know how bad I am? I haven't even watched the season finale of that Ridley Scott show on HBO, that Wolves of whatever, or that...
Oh, I can't remember if I ever finished it either. I don't think I did. I think I just tapped out.
I just tapped out right the last episode.
Now that you're bringing it up, I don't think I did either.
Like, man, you got it. Like, and I'll watch anything.
I did the same thing with like that Orlando Bloom show that was kind of fantasy. It was on Amazon Prime, I think, also.
I know which one you're talking about. It's got the chick with the eyebrows.
Yeah, and they're like fairies and stuff like that. Yeah. I also,
season two's coming out of that. I finished that one.
I watched a couple episodes and just couldn't get into it. So nerd shit, it's what I want. We just need to do a better job. But let's hope for the, again, Lord of the Rings, maybe that rights the ship.
Yeah, you know, I'll still watch the next Game of Thrones. Up, Wheel of Time, Foundation, all right. Journey at Your Own Risk.
And then we haven't started it yet, but we got another show in the nerd world, Cowboy Bebop.
Again, reviews on the Facebook feed are not doing well for Cowboy Bebop. I'm going to start that hopefully sometime this week, probably over the long holiday. And my expectations were drastically lowered by, you know, non-spoiler, like nobody's really ruining it or anything, but they're just like, yeah, this isn't my Cowboy Bebop.
Which is unfortunate because at least like the still images, like the posters and stuff they put up,
yeah, they did a really good job of impostering a Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about some actual news here, some actual headlines that have come out this week. And last week we talked, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, we talked about Quentin Tarantino dropping his, getting an NFT game. And so this one kind of is in the middle of our tech space and entertainment, but because it's Quentin Tarantino, let's call it entertainment. And Miramax is suing him because he was going to release essentially like director's cut, deleted scenes that has never been seen before by anybody outside of like, you know, a production studio. And he was going to release them as NFTs. And you know people were going to spend money on that thing. Like there was going to be people buying those up. Well, Miramax has now sued Quentin Tarantino over his plan to do so and over who has the rights of it. Is it the studio or is it Quentin Tarantino himself that has that ownership to sell the NFT?
Yeah, I didn't really think about, does he really own those clips?
I said it 2 weeks ago when we talked about it. I said that there's, I guess it's in his contract. There's got to be some way, or this is going to be a problem. Like, who owns the rights? Yes, he's the director.
It wouldn't surprise me that a Tarantino puts in his project that I own all footage and edits.
I guess I just don't know the timing of how big was Tarantino at Pulp Fiction. I mean, I guess he was already definitely known at Pulp Fiction stage, but it's not like today he gets whatever he wants in a contract, right? I don't know. And I'm sure there was no NFT clause in Pulp Fiction, you know what I mean? Like, this is a different world, so it's not covered by any contract.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, this would be interesting because, like, if this case does, like, ever go to court or something, it will set precedent from here on out. Like, a case like this kind of needs to happen just to hash out all the pre-NFT rights of things like this, ownership, you know, like, but I guess people have been going through this, like music artists have been going through this forever. Like who owns the masters? You know what I mean? Like Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson hated each other because Michael Jackson bought all the masters of the Beatles and would never sell them back to Paul McCartney. So he hated Michael Jackson, like fucking despised his ass because Michael Jackson was a smarter businessman. And when, you know, whoever, I can't remember the company that had the rights to all them, but it was the same company. And Michael Jackson's like, oh, they'll sell the masters? Like, oh yeah, I'll buy them. Sounds like a good investment. Yeah, no shit. You know, so like the music industry has been going through some form of this for a while. You just, instead of saying masters, you say NFT, and it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting aspect of this story. I'm curious where it's going to shape out. And I think it will shape out at least some, right? Those legacy contracts on where like a judge stands on these contracts that don't address digital media, don't address, like, you can think of any movie in that time frame, any cult classic, and then who has the rights to that? Is it the directors? Is it the studios that pay for it?
I figure there's got to be some kind of precedence with like streaming, you know, like,
oh, the directors don't want any, like they don't want that to win.
Well, I'm just saying, like, Quentin Tarantino couldn't just say I'm giving streaming rights to this streaming company, because whoever owns the streaming rights, like, streaming wasn't around during Pulp Fiction, but Pulp Fiction's on some fucking streaming service, I'll tell you that right now. And basically, I would assume whoever owns those streaming rights would own NFT rights as well.
I like to go by the rule of, like, Miramax, if you let Quentin Tarantino bring those reels home and store in his garage for the last 30 years, they're his.
Like, I guess so too. Like, that's it. Ownership is 9/10 of the law, right?
So I I don't know. This is gonna be an interesting story. We'll talk about it as it shapes out, how this will affect entertainment as a whole. Because I definitely think this will have a ripple effect amongst many cult classics and stuff in that era. Then let's talk over a little bit of video game news here, and you know, we've got Halo Infinite, which dropped its multiplayer, which I think was a bit
download
of a surprise.
Play it after I'm done talking to your ass.
Okay, all right. And this was fairly surprising, right? Like, the game doesn't drop until next week or 2 weeks from now. So this popping up and being available for download, I think it's already now Steam's most downloaded game ever. But there's one aspect of it that apparently they are addressing and trying to take care of already because of the negative feedback they've gotten on their Battle Pass system.
Well, yeah, I can definitely attest to this because when I saw they had a Battle Pass system, I was like, all right, man, fuck yeah. The college kid in me was like, buy that Halo Battle Pass. Like, you gave Fortnite some of your money. Like, fuck that. You're going to play Halo. You're going to fucking put money down on it so you feel obligated to play some fucking Halo. So I got it, thinking that, like, in the first night of me and Rami playing a bunch of games, that I'll get some good XP and maybe get something to rock. Bro, I paid like 8-9 matches and didn't get past level 1. Like, the XP distribution to rank up. Like, if you want to hit some of these higher levels to get some, unlock some helmet or something, like, I started quantifying like how many matches I would have to play and how long, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this.
Yeah, and the feedback is that you don't get it for just playing a game. So you have to not only play the game, but you also have to achieve certain mini aspects and quests while playing the game. And some of them are incredibly challenging or buggy that don't properly track if you've even accomplished that or
not. Luckily, because I started on the first day, it was just like, play 3 matches.
Yeah.
Like, play 5 matches. And I was like, all right, I got this.
Yeah, I'm indifferent to these things. I'm never going to play enough to earn anything, but I can understand they've got to figure out the reward mechanism. And I don't know why you would make the reward mechanism so tied to very specific events in the game when all you want is people to stay in the game. Like, right? Like, there's a reason why you just reward people for playing, period. Yeah. Well, and to get rid of that concept, it just goes against all this research that they've been putting in over these years to keep people addicted and playing as long as possible.
Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to do, but I think they will end up fixing it. Like, they'll get on board.
It'll be fixed by next week. Like, it'll be fixed in the next push they do.
I just don't understand
before
what
the game releases in December.
Their original motivation was to make it a long crawl for XP.
Yeah, I don't know, but let's keep this thing moving. Let's jump over into actual tech news now, and we've got a billionaire that we don't talk about as often as the other billionaires, and that's Bill Gates, who owns a startup company that he created, TerraPower, and they're looking to build the first advanced nuclear reactor in Wyoming. And I'm all for that. We've talked, we've over the years doing this thing, talked a bunch about different global warming things and whatever else. I've always said, like, how have we not just figured out how to make nuclear energy better and just cleaner and provide power? Well, Bill Gates, he's working at it. He's got a good chance. Looking at, I think, 2025 as being a early side to see this being built and maybe functioning in 2028, as the article says, is kind of the goal.
I'm glad just somebody's finally being ambitious enough to take this on. I'm surprised it wasn't Elon, but he's got his gigafactories and he's doing his part.
Yeah, he doesn't care about this.
Yeah, you know, he's not worried about this, and he can't do everything. So it's good to see Bill Gates taking time away from microchipping the world and build a nuclear power plant.
Yeah, and you know, the plant's going to cost, the article says, $4 billion, half of which is being split and paid for by the U.S. Department of Energy. So, you know, this is kind of where I think some of our energy subsidies should go. Got it? We should put up wind farms where we can put up wind farms. We should invest in solar where it makes sense. And we should also invest in clean nuclear energy.
I can't remember what the other technology is that I don't think I've ever seen anyone utilizing, but it's like with buoys in the ocean. What's that?
Oh, yeah,
called?
I know what you're talking about.
It's not like hydroelectric because that involves, that's like more like damming, like the Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
They call it something else. But it's basically, yeah, buoys in the ocean, and it just drives a generator down at the bottom of the ocean that, you know, pumps energy to the city. Like, waves are free and they don't ever stop. Like, like literally, like, ever stop. I don't see as many of that going on either. I'd like to see some of those motherfuckers up and down the coastlines.
Yeah, I really don't know much. Every once in a while I'll get a story about it, but you're right. It's not something prevalent. There's definitely, I haven't seen anything.
Well, I live in the Midwest, so I drive a little bit outside the city, and I see windmills in my area all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so like I actually enjoy seeing them big motherfuckers. It makes me feel better about the direction we're going in.
Yeah, I actually do. I like seeing them wherever they're popping up at. So issues.
I imagine driving up and down the coast, you don't see too many giant like buoys, you know, 5 miles out or, you know, whatever they put them at.
Can confirm. but let's see if we can get a nuclear plant here. Maybe by 2028, that'd be an interesting aspect, but it's being subsidized by the government, so I'm excited for it.
From what they say, we can achieve a nuclear power and how much better it's gotten over the decades, you know, HBO made that really good Chernobyl documentary, and I was like, oh man, it's gonna fuck everything all up. Like, it's good to see that things are still moving forward.
It would have been a shame if all of a sudden that was a drawback to actually accomplishing things.
But it was such a good series, though.
Yeah, I never watched it. I should.
Shut up. So good.
Yeah, that was... I guess it didn't make my list on my 1 month HBO Max subscription.
Dirty motherfucker.
I just need a new movie to drop on HBO Max, and then I'll pay for it for 1 month, and I'll see if I can sneak into Chernobyl.
Yeah, and when's your AMC run out?
I forgot to cancel it.
Oh, another month. Got me
one more month.
I'm going to see House of Gucci tomorrow. Let's go.
I got these Christmas movies. I'm going to do Ghostbusters
next week.
I fully intend on doing Ghostbusters. we'll see. All right.
Nice.
Let's move on from my failures here. And and let's talk about our segment about NFTs and crypto. This is becoming a weekly thing.
Like, you need You need your own NFT intro song.
I do. I need like an NFT AI generated NFT intro song. That's what I need. But
yeah, I mean, I got a rap song for Fight Me Friday. It's going to be hard to top.
I've got that AI generated Biggie song.
Biggie, 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 NFT.
Have I ever showed you that or played that for you?
No.
Oh, I'll have to show you. It's actually a really, really
posted
interesting
in the cantina.
really interesting NFT. And it's just AI generated. It's called the Resurrectables, and they're resurrecting old artists through deepfakes. So they're just training it to understand it, and then there's no humans writing the lyrics or anything else. They just give it a prompt, and then they go. And this thing absolutely sounds like Biggie, has the same pace and cadence as Biggie, and it's all rapping about him coming back to life on the blockchain. But not a human being wrote those lyrics or anything else. They just gave it some prompts and let it go.
I'm going to laugh the day that, like when we were kids, we had Milli Vanilli, right? Like that's what we had. We had Milli Vanilli. Now you're going to have some Island Boys looking motherfuckers that just are computer generated and AI are making all their lyrics and stuff. Like, bro, what are we going to do? Like, I mean...
It's
no worse than Taylor Swift writing songs about her like 15th boyfriend that broke her heart.
Love is tough. Don't judge her.
You don't know her journey.
You don't know her struggles. I love Taylor Swift. All for just because of the smart business sense of it. You talk about like owning masters and stuff. What she did to stick it to her... it was a producer or whatever
Scooter Braun.
And she just made covers of all of her old songs and doesn't let Spotify play anything but her covered songs. So that way, yeah, he owns the masters, but everything that she's ever made, she just recovered slightly differently, so that way she now owns the Masters. And that's great. Like, Paul McCartney should have done that to Michael Jackson years ago. They should have just made slight covers of all the songs.
Until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh my god, now that's all I want to do is sit here and come up with alternate Beatles titles. That's all I want to sit here and do now.
But, anywho, I went on a T-Swift tangent.
I know. I'm actually quite shocked.
Let's get this back
to defending T-Swizzle.
I might have to cut that out, edit that out just for my own credibility.
It's documented. I got the Zoom recording. If you don't post it, I'm posting this whole fucking thing on Zoom.
All right, let's get back on track here with NFTs. My real credibility around here, and what we get is the Pirate Bay, essentially the piracy website, I guess.
Man, that's my shit. Pirate Bay. Yeah. Pirate Bay was my shit.
Yeah, I may know how to navigate Pirate Bay as well. what we get is they've pulled, essentially, they have a 20 terabyte torrent of every single NFT that has ever existed. Somebody has created, essentially, and just right-click saved everything out of OpenSea, out of every platform, and has created this massive torrent to essentially try to show and enlighten everybody that they're being swindled by the technology and by the NFT system, and that these images are not stored on the blockchain, which that is actually true. We can talk about that. But there are issues with them not being on-chain. But just really highlighting the fact that, and just saying, like, you could right click save anything. People are idiots for buying into these NFTs and not understanding the market and trying to enlighten us. And as a full degen that I am, I'm just to say, fuck you. You're an idiot.
So even
you don't understand where we're coming from here.
So even me, which are skeptical of like how big NFTs can actually get, like, I have my skepticism, but I do believe in the concept as a whole is going to be a major player in our lives for decades to come. When I first read this article, I just kind of pictured like a dude with like a Wario mustache going to the Louvre and like taking a picture of the Mona Lisa and being like, I stole it, and running out of the fucking Louvre, you know, and everyone looking at him being like, what the fuck? Like, that's essentially kind of like what he's doing in my eyes is like, you could take a Polaroid of the Mona Lisa, but everybody you show it to knows that shit ain't shit. It ain't real. It ain't nothing. It's about ownership. It's about who owns these motherfuckers.
Yeah, and all the people that claim there are criticisms of the NFT space, and I think there's going to be a reckoning to some of the NFT space at some point. I think that's natural to any kind of market that's blown up like this. There's going to be a correction. There are a lot of problems in the NFT space. It's difficult to navigate. It is incredibly prone to scams. Just today, there was a project that I was following that I didn't end up minting, but I was following it and I was considering minting it. Well, it ended up selling out in seconds, so I wouldn't have gotten it anyway. I didn't get approved for presale, and I'm glad I didn't even try, because the people who didn't get in seconds, there was a scam that hacked their Discord, changed the links, and anybody who missed out on that sellout that took place in seconds is people who came 1 minute later, a couple of minutes later, and clicked on the links within the Discord, which are always supposed to be the trusted ones, got taken somewhere else, and this scam took 42 ETH in minutes from these people that were just slightly behind the sellout. And that's 42 ETH in actual money transferred to the wallet. You're talking about significantly more in gas fees and money burnt. And the project, the NFT project, has promised to refund. They've captured everybody who got taken by that scam wallet, and they're repaying everybody their ETH. So good on them. It also goes to show how much money they just made.
Yeah.
But
you're just going to throw 42 ETH back into the fucking system like it's no big deal? Okay.
But there's issues, and one of the big criticisms from this article and this person who did this, talking about how you really don't own anything because these NFTs are not on chain. Absolute criticism of of NFTs that I agree with, that what you own is you own a contract that goes to something, but that NFT, that digital NFT that you own goes, it's stored on a server somewhere. It's stored on somebody's website. Well, what happens when that website goes down? Well, now you own a contract that goes to a blank 404 error webpage somewhere because the NFTs aren't on themselves in the ledger. Just the contract is, just the ownership is. So that valid criticism. NFTs need to move to on-chain. Still, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah. Like I said, I hear the Wario laugh. And I just see the dude with a high lens camera in an art gallery taking pictures of all the paintings saying, "I just robbed you," and running out. Like, that's what I see. It's all like disconnected from everything I think people are when they think just very narrowly like that.
And I'll take this moment here just to say congratulations to an old Cantina Conversation team, John Baynard and Tim Malloy, and our old buddy Sean from Don't Feed the Wolf. We did that Cantina Conversation a while ago when they were in the early days of them putting together the project. And their project minted. I minted a couple of them. Steve's got a couple of them. The Nerd Cantina has quite a few of them.
I was just saying, couple's about a bit of an understatement.
And the Nerd Cantina has quite a few of them. Members of the Nerd Cantina joined in with us. And ultimately, they successfully sold out just over 24 hours after their public release. And these things are just beautifully weird. I love them. I love them so much. So we'll make sure to show them over in the Cantina page. So join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community and see what you missed out on. Maybe pick up some of the secondary market.
I'm thinking about it, if you added up Cantina, like associates, like fans of the show plus the Cantina, we minted a nice handful.
Yeah.
We minted a nice handful.
I would agree. Yes. That's it. We got like six baby hands full of NFTs. But big congrats to the Toddler Pillars team and all the work they've done. It's of all the NFT places, like they're the ones that convinced me that I'm in the right space because of just the community, the art, and having the right focus mentality. And where I look at things, I try to replicate that in new projects that I am seeking out and joining.
Yeah, but it was basically my first project that I joined up with, and I was glad I did. I was glad I caught it. I got a few friends to mint them, and you know that it was all their first NFT. So there was a lot of NFT virgins that joined in on this project. So I was glad. I was glad everything worked out the way it did for the guys.
Yeah. Well, let's move on a little more crypto news before we kind of wrap this thing up. But we've got El Salvador, which we talked about a couple months ago now. It was over the summer, towards the tail end of the summer, but El Salvador accepted Bitcoin as legal tender, not their official currency, but legal tender. It has to be accepted in grocery stores and everything else, moving towards becoming kind of a haven for cryptocurrency, Bitcoin specifically, and to kind of stabilize their own currency as it's historically incredibly volatile. And then now they're moving and they're just doubling down and they're looking at creating a place like literally called Bitcoin City. They're trying to create a city centered around a cryptocurrency economy and raising that money through cryptocurrency bonds and then also supporting kind of crypto mining and crypto operations powered by thermal energy from a volcano. Like that. Either El Salvador is absolutely living in the future, right? Either they are 100% living in the future, or this is just the dumbest shit ever.
Go ahead and try it, El Salvador. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. Like, this sounds like some, like, oh man, I'm drawing a blank. What was that evil villain that Homer Simpson worked for?
Burns?
No.
Oh.
Like when he was the evil villain that lived in the volcano that Homer Simpson was a personal assistant for. Like this reminds me of like President El Salvador is just on some fucking man, I can't remember. Oh, like it's so close to my brain I can't even say it. God damn it. Tweet at me because I'm a dumbass if you listen to this show.
Disappointing.
But that's exactly what comes to mind when I heard this. Like it just feels so like evil villainish. Like, yeah, we're gonna do all this shit powered by like the fact that the word volcano comes out of your mouth, man. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah. Powered by the headline specifically says that they're going to create Bitcoin City powered by crypto bonds and Volcano. And like, I had to click that. Like, you got me. Well crafted headline. You got me. Now I've got to figure out what the hell is happening in El Salvador. I didn't even need to click on the article. Like, it's literally that. I could have inferred enough. We'll see how that works out for El Salvador, and they're going to continue to remain in the news for us because they're very progressive towards leveraging the future of tech-centered and crypto-centered economy. And I'm here for that experiment.
Yeah, man. Go ahead and try. Let's see it. Let's see it. I want whatever that Volcano token is. I'm down. I'll buy some. give me airdrop me some of them Kanos.
All right, and then one of our last stories here in tech, we've got a new electric and autonomous container ship, the Yara Birkeland. It's taking its first voyage, and
so it can park its ass outside of our docks and wait for 3 years to unload.
I was going to say, and I hope its solar is really working well when it just sits outside the coast of Port of LA for 7 weeks. I mean, that's why they need to be autonomous, because
if
these guys
on the show months from now, there's a supply shortage. Months later, there's some shit going on right now with ships.
These autonomous ships are going to solve the problems of of humans just living in their own feces and being out of food for weeks, stuck off the coast of the Port of LA. So
yeah, why not? I think this is it puzzles me how we have we have nuclear submarines that run with no fossil fuels, just go. How are we not at the point where these big containers, where it's literally just like a vessel to carry shit, it's very basic, why we're not covering these in solar panels, running electric engines, running nuclear power if we have to as backup? Like, it's kind of surprising that we're just doing this story now
in a ship, but in the ships going, if they're gonna be autonomous and everything else, but the autonomous ships, what are you afraid of them running into? Like, they can have enough sensors. Yeah, they can have enough sensors to keep enough distance and whatever else.
Yeah, see, I don't know that much about how to captain a ship, but ships that big, I assume when you see a big wave coming, it's not just something you're like, let me turn this motherfucker. like they're pretty much built to take these motherfuckers, from what I understand. I just don't understand why it's taking this long, actually, now that we've done a whole bunch of this shit before in other vehicles.
Yeah, and I don't think that this is going to be doing cross-Atlantic trips and everything else. But still, either way, we've got Elon over there with drone ships catching rockets out of the sky.
Yeah.
But
we don't even fly our own spaceships anymore. how are we driving boats?
We'll be all right. This will be okay. So I'm here. This is a
well.
A,
and like
a great
every
tech.
Time you see a really bad story of a tanker, leaking oil or getting flipped over, it's always some drunk Swedish dude's fault. you take that component out of the mix, then we might not have as many of those headlines.
All right. Well, we mentioned Elon. Might as well finish up with him here with our last story in some space news. And we've got Elon and SpaceX looking to fly their first Starship. They're talking about doing this now in January, putting out that gigantic spaceship now out into orbit for the first time. No human beings will be on it. This will be a completely autonomous flight up and down. But let's see if this thing makes it to orbit. I would love to see. There's probably Vegas odds out there somewhere. What are the chances that this is a success on the first go? He's been blowing these things up.
Yeah, I'd say 20 to 1.
All right.
I think that's fair odds.
I'll take those odds.
I think a good 20 to 1 shot. This thing doesn't incinerate at any point during this mission.
Is that 20 to 1 that it makes it to orbit, returns, and is reusable? Or what? It just makes it to orbit. What's the success criteria here?
I would say 21 makes it to orbit. 35 to 1, it does the whole trip.
those odds are mathematically less favorable for me now.
I think they're fair, though. I think they're fair.
Yeah. And I guess they're... It's
for those that don't know, I'm a degenerate gambler. and I would put those numbers against any Vegas statistician right now to see what they're figuring in the odds. Like I'm willing to bet I'm within five of each number. I'm willing to bet that.
Just wait one moment while I goo. I'm really curious to see if there are Vegas odds. I bet as you get closer, there probably are.
Really? I don't know. Because I would like to put a little, I'd put a little change on that. I'd put $100 on it. Try to win me $2,000 on a nice lift off.
All right, so we're too far away from this rocket, but I can say that back in May, the last time the Starship launched, there were absolutely Vegas prop bets on the SpaceX launch.
I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Someone call Dave Portnoy. Get me some odds. call Portnoy. Tell him to spit the pizza out of his mouth and get me some SpaceX odds. Do we have odds on the last launch? Like what do we have here? What if Elon just gave this interview to he's like Pete Rose. He's betting on his own liftoffs. So he wanted better odds. So he's just tweeting out and giving shitty interviews. Like, well, we're going to do it, but I don't know if it's going to make it. And then he's betting on his own rockets. And then if they ever catch him, he'd be like, what? I bet on my own team. Just like he's the Pete Rose.
Yeah.
All over again.
The last time they bet, they were betting on the timing of the Crew Dragon docking. So I was wrong. It was not the last Starship launch. It was the Crew Dragon launch.
Well, that had people on it, so we expected everyone to live. So this one isn't going to have people on it, so we might have different types of bets, because it would be really morbid if we were gambling on a bunch of fucking astronauts burning on reentry. Okay, like, that's a little morbid. And yeah. I don't even know if I'll place that bet.
It's true. All right, well, that's it. That's a week. Nerd news. Done. Recapped. As always, hey, go over the nerdcantina.com/community. Tell Steve who that villain was from The Simpsons.
The minute I see it, I'll be so mad at myself.
It's also a safe space to just give full-on respect to T-Swift for all that she's done for the music community. It's also a great place for that. And then,
oh god!
I don't know. Go pick up a toddler pillow baby or something. Show us a baby. I don't know. But join us over there. Have a good time. and ultimately, let's continue to grow the community and enjoy our nerd culture together.
Yeah, guys. We'll see you next week, and we'll see how many more NFT stories Ken can bring to us.
All right. Talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.